It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Green, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll. Who you got?
It's Over Under 985, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. Happy New Year!
Woo! 2020, baby.
I am ready for 2020. Big things happening in 2020. But I would like to set the table first, Dan, with just a couple of things.
Go for it.
In the new year, I have gambling resolutions. And it's about you people!
I get it. Okay? I get it.
It's about you people who support us every week and listen to the show every week and follow our tweets and tweet us out and tell your friends. And we thank you for all of that. We thank you. But it's the holidays, people. And you guys were on the naughty list. A lot of you guys.
You guys were on the fuck you list. you get goal list this week.
Like, holy shit. Yeah, we got, you know, Dan says, oh, take UTEP. Plus two, and it was really...
I said plus one. It should have been plus two.
And everybody
mistakes are made, and bang, I'm a fraud because, you know, I said the wrong line.
And, you know, on Christmas Day, I didn't play every bet because, I don't know, Christmas got in the way. But I'm a fraud. So, like, just, I know that there's trolls out there, and I know in 2020, you know, we should not let trolls bother us and all that shit. Like, we get it. But, like, I want to start over with everybody. I want to start anew. It is a new year. Gambling is legal in most places.
Except where we are.
Except for Massachusetts. But you can now go to New Hampshire and use the app. But it's just, you know, we work hard. We're all here trying to make money. We're not giving out picks for any incentive. We just do this to make money with you guys. And we wanted to start a podcast one day. And here it is. It's successful. What are we, like 73, 74 in? And we might have a show announcement next week. So
hopefully.
So a lot has happened, but oh my God, the holidays. Man, I don't know if like people were drinking while they were betting.
Like, what the fuck? Aren't people supposed to be like fucking happy with Christmas, with your family? Yeah, New Year's, like, New Year's, I get. Like, you're drunk, whatever, you're with your buddies. Day after New Year's, like, come on, guys. Like, fucking relax.
I have another New Year's resolution. People shit on me for complaining about the refs too much. I'll admit, I mention the refs a lot.
Okay.
Have you watched these damn games?
Fucking brutal. They're fucking terrible. This is why we have a wrangle. This is why in the NBA playoffs, the wrangle was just crushing ass because this is a legit thing. Now, we don't know the fucking wrangle of these college refs, but God damn, there is a wrangle with all of them. It feels like
it. I got it a lot this week. Like, all you do is complain about the refs. And I went over my bowl record, Dan, because I just like wanted to pull it up. So I'm 24 and 16 now in my bowls. And if BC under can hang on, I'll hit that too in BC. But BYU didn't run out the clock at the end of the game. That was on BYU. I can't blame the refs there, okay? Florida had a backdoor cover. I can't really blame the refs on that one. VTech lost on the final drive of the game But there was a dropped fourth down that was not reviewed.
That was some bullshit.
Bullshit, okay? Wisconsin had four turnovers. But on that final drive, did you see the flag that popped out on offensive pass interference on a pick play?
No.
I mean, it was complete. Like, there have been a lot of games. The Clemson game. Do I have to bring that up? I had Clemson. I was huge all over Clemson. But there was some spotty
officiating. Guys, the fucking refs. Listen, I like Clemson, too. I think that a lot of us were on Clemson in terms of the actual side. The refs were fucking on Clemson. I'm an Ohio State fan. Yes, my bias. Yes. They were fucking on Clemson. What? By the way, were the refs on LSU in that game or what?
Mm.
That was terrible. Look, it's okay. I was on LSU, too. I had a middle shot, to be honest with you, but I was on LSU for a bit more. Just call it how it is. It doesn't matter. Just call it how it is. If you're getting the benefit of the doubt, fucking be happy and take it. Just be happy about
so,
it.
So, like, when I lose a game and like, I blame the officials, I feel like it was the right side sometimes. And listen, I'll complain, but it's just, if you're betting on a lot of these games, I've noticed some people to, like, tell me, like, dude, I crushed it over the weekend, Dan. If people followed us this past weekend, like, we did really well. And on Monday, like, people lost. And they're like, oh, all my winnings for the weekend are gone. Like, how? Like, dude, I hit for, like, 10 units on Saturday night alone.
Yeah.
The national championship game. I won, like, almost, you know, I won a lot of money.
Yeah.
So how do you lose all your money on Monday?
I don't understand it either. Like, we based off what our picks, like, I thought we did really well.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I bet too many bowl games. So, like.
Well, that's your thing. You like to bet all the college basketball games.
I bet everything.
Yeah.
That's so, like, thing, you got to pick and choose, you know? Like,
listen, I don't like to bet everything. I like to bet shit with edge. You go a different direction. It works for you, man. Embrace it.
I mean, 6-6 isn't what I want. Wisconsin with your four turnovers and Baylor not showing up. But I had a great day with, you know, Minnesota and Alabama and hitting them both in the second half. Those were really good bets for me. Anyways, resolutions in 2020. Let's be in this together. Let's all make money together. But the one word that I can't take is fraud. How can we be frauds? We turn the mic on. We talk gambling and try to give you guys analysis so you can make the decision. And somebody actually on Twitter mentioned this. It's like kind of like when people get mad at us. It's like cheating off the kid's paper next to us and getting a failing grade.
Yeah, and getting mad because we get questions wrong. I saw that. I agree.
I would love that one.
Like, okay, first off, all of our shit is on audio, so you can hear almost everything we say. When we don't say it, it's on Twitter, so you can see everything we write.
Yeah, like, we can't fudge records.
And the record...
Everything's on audio.
I have the record there. If you want to go through it piece by piece and claw through it, please be my guest. Like... Go ahead. We do everything by the book we possibly can, guys. That word.
So fraud in 2020. No. Any other resolutions, Dan, while we're doing our first show of 2020?
Yeah. How about this? How about for the second straight, third straight, whatever year we're going into, stop fucking asking me about parlays or teasers. I'm done.
How about this?
I'm not going to
stop asking us what PP means. Stop asking
us. I'm okay with that. No. You want to okay, don't ask we'll get, Joe. Ask
we'll get,
me.
We'll get new listeners.
Ask me. Yeah, ask me. Nah, don't ask Joe. I get.
Don't
get
ask one. Us what book you should use.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we're gonna direct you to only one soon. Hopefully.
Correct. Unfortunately.
Hopefully.
That's, right.
Hopefully.
Right.
I still think calling Mr. Pickles is the way to go.
I love that.
You know.
Can I be honest with you? I was never really a local guy. I always had a local guy, Joe. But ever since I've started here, I enjoy locals much more than I like online.
Anyways, 2020 resolutions. You know what, Dan? I think you wrote a couple down on your Twitter.
I did. You want me to read them?
Go over those.
Okay. Wait, pull me.
I'm gonna pull some up too, but I do think that money management is really big first and foremost, your bankroll. There's so many bets. Like, you know, there's so many. There were some bad games I was betting on. Like, so I got lucky with Western Michigan on an untimed down to cover on 3.5.
Ridiculous.
But that was a bad game.
It was ridiculous.
That was a
I needed the over badly in that game. But, okay.
You would have had it if it went to overtime.
I know.
Untimed. Was the refs involved in the untimed down, Dan?
I don't fucking know what they saw because I counted 11 players 42 times. I don't know where they found another guy. All right. A few rules for you bettors to live by going into 2020. First off, and this probably does not apply to Joe because he's got a big enough bankroll to really do whatever he wants. However, just because there is a game does not mean you have to bet it. And if you want to bet it, that's fine. But if you can't decide on the side, wait for a live line. You can bet live. In fact, you get a lot of value betting live spots instead of doing that. A lot of soccer bettors who want to take an over will wait 5-10 minutes into a game and get a better line. It's just the way it is. Okay. Another one, bankroll management, just as important as winning. If your bankroll sucks or your management sucks, you're not going to win because you're not going to have money to bet. All right. Joe, this one's easy. Bet only what you can afford to lose.
Yeah. Like, I think the way to do it, and I do this actually. I got tired of doing it at one point, but bet percentages of your bankroll or what you're up this week. So what I'm noticing is people are betting small money, $25, $5. I've never done that in my life. I've always been like $100 or more guy. Damn, I don't think I've ever put $50 in anything in my life, unless it was like a side bet. But like, you know, let's say you're up $150. Okay, you're gonna use 10% of your book. So you're gonna put what, $15 on a bet? That's probably the best way to do money management.
Yep.
My problem is
percentages. It should be 1% to 3% every bet.
Yep. So I did 10% there.
That's too high, probably.
Okay.
But for small time bettors, you probably need to go higher, 5 to 7%. More aggressive, I would say.
Okay.
That would be what it's.
And just I do you have any more or are you good?
Yeah, a few more. Getting the best number long term is the best way to win. True. Getting the best number long-term will always be the best way to win.
Yeah, Clemson was like at 4, went down to 3.5.
Yep, but just because you get a good closing line does not mean that you're going to win in that situation, okay? Getting the best line will long-term will mean you win more, but getting the best line in a one-off does not mean anything. Parlays and teasers in most situations will kill you long-term. We've talked about that.
Well, yeah, I know all about that.
All right, finally, final few. 95% of the people on Twitter suck at gambling. True story. They do. Most people don't bet their picks, lie about records. It's true.
Well, I think some people post picks to... We were talking about that this morning, Dan. There are websites that throw out these statistics. Like, oh, Auburn is 11-1 against, you know, Big Ten opponents to sway money on Auburn to help the underdog side.
Trends.
Like, that line went from 7 to 7.5 at one point.
Trends. Yep. All right. And finally, be careful with your chair. And if you do buy picks, make sure the price point is low enough where it doesn't affect your return on investment. If you're paying $200 a month and your normal bet's like $10 a month, you are going to automatically lose money no matter what you do. You just can't. It's not profitable. So you need to make sure that your return on investment does not get impeded by whoever you're paying, how much you're paying, yada, yada, yada.
Just one thing to say to that. You have a resource in myself and Dan Lifshatz where you don't have to buy picks. You can literally look at Dan's pick and say, you know what, I'm going to go against Dan today.
Yep.
Well, you know what, Dan likes them, I'm going to go with them. We can be your resource. Don't buy it. What are we buying picks for? And I get it. There are people, hey, I want to learn how to handicap. It's just keep looking at games and who you like and does the number look good enough. All right. Resolutions. I just have a couple, and it's not so much gambling related, but life-wise, you do want to increase your cash flow. You do want to lower your expenses. You do want to increase your network. You do want to lower your taxes. You do just want to increase your financial intelligence in general, like increase it all, increase assets and lower debt. Like, I'm 37 years old. I'm a homeowner. I'm married. I have cars and like I have a job, two jobs. And like, Dan, someday I don't want to work anymore.
I get it. I don't blame
Someday I don't want to work. Someday I'd love to just gamble for the rest of my life.
That'd be fun.
But if you can't decrease any of those things and increase your network and have lower debt and lower taxes, you will be chasing the rest of your life.
Agreed.
Wow, I just got I got serious for a
super
second,
deep there, Joe.
All right, well,
that's like life advice.
Right, I know. There. 2020 resolutions there, everybody. Feel free to tweet us with any that you have. But going forward, we're giving picks and we're making money, and that's it in 2020. Giving picks and making money in 2020. Should we put that on a t-shirt?
Giving picks and making, I like that. Yes.
Giving picks, making money in 2020.
Well, hopefully those are going to be available soon. We're hoping that they'll be available soon. Also, please rate, review the podcast. We would appreciate it. That's how, you know, it kind of gets on the iTunes charts. So even if you know whatever, you've already done it before, do it again. We would appreciate it. Thank you very much. We appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, everybody. All right. We're going to stop the bitching.
Yep.
And we're going to get into the money making.
Yep.
Coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 98.5 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lifschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 98.5 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting, the NFL, college football, and any other sports league that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
It's Over Under 985 Wild Card Weekend. We have Buffalo at Houston and all AFC Saturday. Isn't that interesting, first and foremost?
Yeah, I don't like it. I gotta be honest, I don't really like it.
Who are they trying to appease, or are they trying to get like the Boston major market on a Saturday night?
I think maybe they want to, I mean, they definitely want the Pats in primetime, right? That makes sense. I get that. Maybe they're doing Sunday afternoon because that's when everyone watches football to get the MLC. I don't really know. I honestly can't sympathize with the scheduling situation. I get the Pats Sunday night. What I don't get is like not throwing Seattle Philly in like the 4:30 time slot on a Saturday. Like that feels like a game like you want to be like pretty out there. I don't know. That's me.
And not for nothing in that game too. Seattle played the last game of the year, so maybe they're trying to give them a little bit more time and not play on a Saturday. Maybe that's where they're going.
I guess that does make some sort of sense, to be honest with you. That probably does. It's just weird. That's all.
All right. So we've talked about some of these games on Toucher and Rich, but let's break them down a little bit here.
Cool.
Buffalo is at Houston. The line I believe is 2.5. The total is like 43.
44, yep.
44, okay. Buffalo has done really well since Devin Singletary has been to the backfield. It gave Frank Gore some time to ease up, and Cole Beasley's gotten hot. Josh Allen has, at times, played well, and then at times has not been able to win games late, like against the Patriots.
Yeah. He can make some throws.
The Texans are the biggest wild card team in the world. They're going to get J.J. Watt back, which might be a big boost for them, especially playing at home. Like, the Texans here are sneaky to me. Buffalo has a good defense.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of the money's coming in on Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, we got...
But Texans are the squarest play in the world.
Probably. They probably are. I'm not backing Josh Allen in the playoffs with my money. I'm not. Like, if you want to back Josh Allen in the playoffs with your money, be my guest. If you win, I'll hand it up to you. I'll give you credit for backing Josh Allen, having the balls to do it, and winning money. But I am not. I'm not doing that. There's not a chance I'm backing the Bills. I like the Bills. They're a good team. I think they're on the rise, but Houston, they have the better quarterback. They have the better offense. I think they have a very comparable defense. By a touchdown, Cincinnati with 45 seconds left.
Dickheads.
38 to 6.
That's a fuck you touchdown.
It is. Because I'm telling you, I don't know if you saw the report. BC said they wanted to quit at halftime. And then BC's PR said, oh, that was not true. But my guess is that's a fuck you touchdown because BC did not want to play the bowl game.
So. Yeah, I'm seeing here that it wasn't a touchdown yet.
Yeah, I got the alert, so we'll see. Anyways, listen, I'm not backing the Bills. I will take the better offense and the better defense to kick the extra points, 38-6.
Yeah, they kicked it.
Yeah, so I think Houston is the side. It's scary because it is really square, as you said, but I think even the squares win in the NFL playoffs, and, you know, everyone is all over Buffalo and Tennessee the first day, like the first two, first Saturday. Everyone's all over Buffalo and Tennessee. So I'm not riding. I'm definitely not riding Buffalo. Definitely not.
How about the total?
I lean under. I know it's been sharped up to 44. The way I look at it is this is a game. I think Buffalo is going to struggle to score offensively. And I think Deshaun Watson is going to, you know, I think Buffalo is a better defense. So to me, Houston is explosive, you know, pass offense, but still they're not elite. I like Buffalo's defense to contain them. Tre'Davious White should be decent on Gilmore, even though he's like half his size. I just think that, you know, Buffalo will probably give up a little bit, but defensively they should be pretty solid still and keep them in the game. I like the under. I would lean under 44. I know it's getting sharped up the other side. I'm just, you know.
I don't have a bet yet. I'm going to wait until Saturday afternoon. Buffalo has won 6 road games this year. That should not be taken lightly. I've also watched the Texans choke in big games like this. They're good. They got a good quarterback. They're getting J.J. Watt back, and they're at home. They should win that game. I hate the line of 2.5. I hate it. It's so square. It is so square that it scares me, but yet it's interesting that a lot of the money's on Buffalo. I tend to lean towards the under as well, Dan.
Two good defenses, you know. Two good defenses in the playoffs with a bad quarterback on one side.
So that's the first game. That line opened at 39.5, and now it's up to 44.
Yep.
So that's... That's that game. Josh Allen versus Watson, right off the bat, Watson all day long. I think Buffalo is a better running game. I'm ready to watch. I'm ready to see what happens with this game. Did they play earlier this year? These two, I'll look that up as well.
I don't
well.
Think they did.
I'll take a look. But overall, to me, that one's scary. Now, the Patriots game, which I will be at 8:15 Saturday night at Gillette Stadium. My local has it at 5. I've seen it at 4, Dan.
I've seen it between 4 and 5. It's in between there. 4, 4.5, 5. Honestly, those are all dead numbers. I think 4 is the least dead of them all, but in general, most of them are dead numbers. So I don't think it's that big of a deal, but, you know, it's playoff football, so maybe, but. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. How do you feel about this one, Joe? Because I'm interested, you know, to get your take. You are definitely an X's and O's guy. You know the X's and O's of these teams. You know what the Patriots have been the past few weeks. Obviously, we know this team better than any other team in the NFL. What is your thinking with Vrabel coming back in here? And, I mean, we know that guy is not scared the coach here.
I think the Patriots being at home matters in this game. Even though it didn't matter against Miami a week ago. X's and O's, I think Tannehill needs to move around in the pocket and be on the run. So I would send a John Simon, Jamie Collins, maybe even a Chase Winovich at him constantly throughout the day. I would also move Patrick Chung up in the box and play Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty deep. And the reason why is I'm not sure what they're going to do with Stephon Gilmore. Are they going to put him on Corey Davis? Or are they going to put him on A.J. Brown, who right now is probably the hottest or one of the hottest receivers in football? I think he can cover one of them one-on-one. But I think J.C. Jackson's going to need help over the top, which means that there's only one deep safety. What scares me about that is if there's 8 guys in the box and Derrick Henry gets by somebody, he only has one man to beat.
He's gone. If I'm them, I think you got to play single coverage and make Ryan Tannehill beat you. I think Stephon Gilmore needs to have a fucking game. Needs to have a massive game. By the way, Joe, under hit in Cincinnati.
Boom.
Cincinnati, so you're good there. I think Stephon Gilmore needs to step up. I think he covers A.J. Brown, right? It sounds like they're going to be without Adam Humphries, which is, you know, a big, big, big advantage for the Patriots. That guy is the guy the Pats went after, you know, big time. I think Jonnu Smith is underrated in what he can do. He's a really good blocker. I think the Titans are going to be use Smith quite a bit and force Chung to cover him at some point and maybe take him out of, you know, the running game. I just think, to me, you have to play single coverage and know that Stephon Gilmore is, you know, you has to be elite, and you live with whatever J.C. Jackson gives you. You live with it. You live with it.
Yeah, and I'll just bring this one more up.
You typed that wrong. It says BC minus seven.
Oh, wow, wow, wow. We can't have anybody out there being like, Joe, you were wrong.
People will be freaking out.
They'll freak out. Yeah. Joe, you tweeted the route wrong. You know how that works.
I do.
Just quickly, I mentioned this on the air, and people are going to think I'm crazy. But I think the biggest advantage for the Patriots is Mohamed Sanu on Logan Ryan one-on-one. Adoree Jackson's probably going to take Harry out of the game. And Kenny Vaccaro and a linebacker in some other corner is going to try to double-team Julian Edelman all night. That's why I think Sanu can make a big impact. I also think James White has to make an impact. And that's one thing Mike Vrabel took away in the last game. If you remember a year ago, the Patriots struggled in that game. So just X's and O's wise, I think the Patriots can win this game. But I'm gonna put my balls out on the table right now. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
The Patriots won't lose at home in back-to-back games to Ryan Fitzpatrick and Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is 0-6 lifetime at Gillette Stadium. I don't like it at 5. I don't like it at 4. I might bet it at 3, Dan. But you know what? Fuck it. Give me a PP. Patriots, they win 26-20.
Bang, bang, a little PP action on the Patriots for Joe. I'm not going to PP it, but I'm not, once again, I'm the kind of guy who likes to back quarterbacks who have been there and done that, with the exception of a few guys who have become superstars, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, guys who have really shown me, you know, what they can do, their mettle. Other than that, I want that quarterback to prove to me he can win a playoff game before I put my money on him. That's my approach to playoff football. My approach is going to be the same here as it was with Josh Allen. I think Ryan Tannehill is better than Josh Allen. I think he's more competent. But show me you can fucking win a playoff game before I would ever imagine putting my money on you. And I get the spread is small. I get the sharps are going to be on Tennessee, Joe, right?
Yeah.
I think they are. I think the sharps are going to be on Tennessee. Have a PP in this one, Joe. It is the over. Give me Patriots Titans over 44.
So 26-20, get you over.
Yeah, and
can both win.
I think that the Patriots will score in this game. I think they'll give up a little bit. I think the Titans will get some things going offensively, but ultimately, I think the Pats not only cover, I think they win. I'm going to say about 31-20 is the score. I think. Maybe the Titans get a late field goal or the Pats get a late touchdown to put it away. But 31-20 is the score I like in that one.
All right. Wow.
So that's Saturday.
Picks right away.
That's Saturday. Yeah, a couple of PPs right there.
Sunday, Minnesota at New Orleans. Let's just talk it out for a second here.
All right.
I want to look at Minnesota for a second. What's their running game this week? Who do they have for a running game?
I assume that Cook is in. I assume that's kind of why they sat him last week, you know, to try and get him healthy, whatever. I would hope that that team would be smart enough where if Cook can't play, they're getting Madison ready and up to speed. Like, they have to do something with those guys. So
I'm going to give you a couple of trends right off the bat.
Okay.
Vikings are 1-5 against their spread in the last 6 meetings with the Saints. The over is 8-3 in their last 11 meetings with the Saints. The favorite in this matchup is 5-1 against the spread in the last 6. So I don't love the 8, Dan, but I will take New Orleans -7 PP.
Wow. All right.
So what's that going to cost me? 130 probably?
Yep. So that's minus 130.
And here's the deal. New Orleans inside in a dome. Everything's working for them.
Because it's 7.5 right now.
You know, Michael Thomas, I think they're going to put Xavier Rhodes on Michael Thomas. Sorry. That's not going to work.
I think that if you they have to take away Thomas and make Breeze beat them in other places. So I am not going to be taking anything in this game, but I will say this again. Kirk Cousins, what have you done for me lately? Win a playoff game.
No.
You know?
He couldn't win on Monday Night Football.
Like that's what I want to see. I want to see Kirk Cousins win a primetime game. This is a primetime game. I know it's Sunday afternoon, 1 o'clock. So technically, it's a Kirk Cousins time slot. It really is. But I'm not backing Kirk Cousins in the playoffs. That's how I operate. I very much think that this is going to be a close game. I do. I think that Minnesota is going to find a way to keep this game close. I think New Orleans is high powered, but still there's something off about them. I like Minnesota to keep it close, but I'm not going to bet on it. I'm not doing that. Can't do it. Will not do it.
How about the total on that game?
Yeah, total is at 49.5. I opened at 47, which is interesting to me. I don't have a great feel on this one, Joe. I just don't. Like it probably will go over. It probably should go over, but I don't feel great about it going either way, to be honest with you.
I think over. I think Minnesota scores a couple of garbage touchdowns late. You know, so here, just you want to go X's and O's quickly. You know, Cousins' problem is he has the physical tools. He has no footwork in the pocket. He can't. If he doesn't maneuver well in the pocket. If he gets pressure, he's got this strong arm, this athletic ability, and he just can't move.
Yeah,
and like you know what he needs to do is like jump rope and like racquetball. I don't know how else to say it, but like he needs like more lateral. Like that's what Brady does, right?
Yep.
Brady knows how to fucking move around and shit, and like he's slow as balls. But that's what I think Cousins' issue is that he sucks when it comes to moving in the pocket. He has skills. He makes good mindset at times. But I think the Saints right now are a fucking wagon. You would say the same about the Tennessee right now. The Saints, determined. Dude, last year they got hosed. You know what? They're playing in the wild card round right now. I think after Minnesota's poor showing against Green Bay in an important game, I think New Orleans wipes Minnesota.
Definitely possible. I just Kirk Cousins in that 1 p.m. time slot, Joe. It feels like there's something there. It feels like he's more comfortable playing in that time slot in the afternoon. I don't know. Maybe it's a playoff game. It's a different mindset for him. But I'm also not backing them. I think Minnesota is getting healthier. They should hopefully have Dalvin Cook back. If they really want to win this game, they're going to need to run the ball. And, you know, they're going to have to play off Cook or Madison, whoever's in there, you know, running effectively. That's my thing. I don't want to back anyone in this game right now. I just don't think that there is an elite edge either way on the spread, and the total has already been sharped up to the over. So,
by the way, I'm betting every game, people.
Yep. Oh my God. There you go. As I told you.
Like I have to be here at this radio station during the Texans game.
Yep.
And then I'm getting in my car and I'm going to Scorpion Bar. Dan, you've been there before.
Yep.
And then I'm going there and then I'm going to the game. And I might be liquored up.
A little bit. All right, Joe, final game. Final game of the NFL divisional playoffs. Or divisional round, excuse me. Seattle Seahawks going in the Philadelphia. Philly, Seattle open is a 3-point dog on the road. They are now a 1.5-point favorite in Philadelphia. Now, Philly sucked, went 9-7 this year, but you know how I've felt about Seattle all year. They're the sea frauds. They suck. To me, I don't like them. I know that Russell Wilson has been incredible for that team this series, the runner-up for MVP, in my opinion. He's kept that team afloat. But that team, it's just, they have gotten lucky all year. And if there's one upset in this divisional round, this is it to me. And it's not much of an upset. We're talking about a 1.5-point spread. So give me Philadelphia PP plus 1.5.
Oh, Dan, I love it. What's the total?
So the total is at 45.5.
Under. Let me give you a couple of trends. The favorite, 7-3 against spread. Now, I don't know if that's the closing line favorite or the opening line favorite.
Interesting.
The road team, 7-3 in the last 10. Seahawks, 4-0 against the spread, their last four in Philadelphia. Now, these are all who knows when, right?
Yep.
Under, 4-0 the last four meetings.
I do have a slightly into the over. I just feel like there's a late touchdown, but yep. I don't have enough of that.
Let's take an under with Russell Wilson at the end of games who puts up points. Fourth quarter, third and fourth. They're like a good second half bet team, by the way.
Agreed.
Here's one thing I'm just gonna throw out there, like analysis wise. The Eagles have so many people that you don't know about. How do you prepare for these guys? Who the hell is Boston Scott? Like They're actually playing practice squad guys. They got a receiver that played at Stanford last year, put up a bunch of numbers or whatever. But like somehow, some way, Peterson is putting it together with a bunch of scrubs. Now, I do think that the cornerbacks for Philly suck, and I think Metcalf could have a big game. I think Lockett should have a big game. He has to. The running game is still going to be an issue for Seattle. I think the Eagles can take care of that.
I do too.
But Russell Wilson's going to have to be a dual threat in this game. But I think it's hard for Pete Carroll to scout and manage these guys that are unknown. And that's where the Eagles have been hard to play week in and week out over the last couple of weeks, because there are these practice squad players that you don't know anything about them. And somehow Wentz is getting the ball to them and they're all performing well. So in a way, that's why I lean the Eagles in this one. But for now, I'm going under, but that would make it no fun.
Yeah, I agree there. I really do.
And that's all we got, folks.
Yeah, I think Philadelphia has a real chance to be the upset of the weekend. I think you'll see one of the Patriots, Saints, or Texans lose. I think you'll see one of those teams lose, and I think that Philly runs away with that game. I do. Seafrauds will show up at some point.
I could be mistaken, and I'm going to look it up quickly just to double check this, but the Boston Globe had something that the Patriots have been looking at. I'll find it quickly. But it comes back to last year. Here we go. Based on the number of players repeating it, the Patriots coaching staff was quick to point out in meetings this week that the home team lost 3 or 4 wildcard games last season.
Interesting.
3 out of the 4 teams at home lost.
That's interesting. I also think that there's some of those were easy bets. Like, you know, I think that those some of those were just easy bets to make. I'm not so sure that's the case this year. We're going to find out. We're definitely going to find out, like, what is the case with those. I'm interested to see. I am. That's me. I think that it's going to be a very, very, very interesting divisional round this year, especially. I think these 8 teams, I don't think that any of these 8 teams, except for maybe New Orleans, has a real chance to win.
All right, Dan, gun to your head. Who are you betting right now to win the Super Bowl?
Ravens. Not even a question.
I'm going to go Chiefs plus 650.
I like Chiefs.
Saints 600, Chiefs 375.
Yeah, I'm holding a Chiefs ticket from preseason plus 650. Don't feel great about it. I like Baltimore. I think Baltimore's
going.
I'm fine. It's not enough for me to actually want to sell it. I can always hedge it.
So just for those who don't know, if you have a ticket and you don't know if it's gonna cash or not, and you still want to make out on it, go to a company called PropSwap. We make nothing from them. Maybe we should contact them. I don't know. Anyways, all right. There's your divisional round. We broke down everything. This should be up soon, so everybody can knows our picks and where we're leaning. And you know, one thing I'll say about Divisional Weekend, don't bet with your heart. You know, like I think a lot of people want Buffalo to win this week. I think they do, because it gives that chance for New England people to go into the Ravens and beat them and host the game. Just don't bet with your heart.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm interested to see what – I want to know who – I'm interested in next week's games, but you got to play these ones first to get there. All righty. It is over under 985. What are we going to do next here, Dan?
College football. We'll talk about college football playoff, and I guess we'll go over the remaining bowl games again.
All right. All that coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshatz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
It's Over Under 985. We did all the bowl games already, people. So for those clamoring about the shit bowls that are still going on, like the Gasparilla Bowl that's over. No, the what bowl is this? The Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yep.
I think we liked Ohio. The Loch Ned Monster Armed Forces Bowl. I think we leaned Tulane on that one.
Tulane, yep.
Yeah. And then the last bowl of the year besides the championship was Louisiana, Miami of Ohio. And I kind of like Miami of Ohio as a 14-point dog, but we'll see because Louisiana Lafayette's been very good this year.
Yeah, so. I mean, they've been, to me, but the thing is these big spreads have not been covering these bowl games.
Right.
Have not been. Like, it's been a thing, so I don't know. I gotta be honest with you. I have not really enjoyed bowl season that much this year, and I don't think I'm gonna bet a lot of these games. I'll definitely bet on the national championship, though, Joe. Absolutely.
All right, let's get to it. Clemson LSU. Now, this is, I think, what we both. Well, you liked Ohio State, though, right?
No, I like Clemson. I told you I'm an Ohio State fan, but I'm betting Clemson.
So I've been LSU all year long. LSU, 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 LSU. I like Clemson. I don't care who they haven't played. They beat Ohio State. They were down 16-0. They came back and won the game. Here is where it's really, really, really hard for me, Dan. I think LSU is the best team all around. I think they have the best offense. I think they have the best defense. Who has the better quarterback advantage in this matchup?
I think LSU currently has the better quarterback. I think LSU currently has the better offense. I still think LSU has some sort of cockiness or something in them right now that scares me.
Can I throw something else out there?
Yeah.
Who's got the coaching advantage?
Clemson.
Dabo all day. And I love
Dabo,
Coach O.
Dabo has been in this spot how many times now?
Three.
And has won twice? This is, you know.
This could be the third different quarterback he wins with. Oh, no, he won with Lawrence last year, right?
Yes, Lawrence.
Well, whatever. Yeah. Still.
I think that Clemson is in the advantageous spot of having been there.
They've lost. They haven't lost 29 in a row.
Yep.
They're the underdogs again. They love this. That's scary as shit.
I mean, let's get straight to it. How about this? Joe, who do you like in the game? What's break it down after?
I hate the line of 5.5. I hate it. I hate the line of 5.5. The 69.5, though, I think I have to lean over. And the only reason why is it's like this LSU thing where they just put up so many damn points, but I feel like Clemson will answer. Here's the issue with Clemson for me. I think Ross had a bad game and he's hurt. Higgins left the game and came back. Etienne and Lawrence were the only ones who could really do much at all.
And luckily,
when it mattered.
But they have 2 weeks to get healthy.
True.
Really, I mean, they pretty much have 2 weeks to get healthy. Which, but if this game was this week, I might favor LSU.
But LSU has three receivers. They got Moss at tight end. They got four different running backs. Burrow can run the ball and throw the football. Like, I just think that there's more options for Clemson to have to stop than LSU has to stop Clemson.
I just, and again, this sounds silly because Burrow was fantastic last week. I just don't know if Burrow can repeat his performance.
Oh,
again.
God, no. No, God, no. Not against that team. And, I mean, that's not fair to him.
Yeah, and I just think that Clemson, despite the fact that they played a garbage schedule, played the much better team in the bowl game and found a way to win. And that's what I think that this Clemson team is all about. Finding a way to win no matter what. To me, I would take Clemson in the 5.5. I would. I would take any number because I think Clemson is going to win. I would take the money line, whatever. I actually ended up getting it at 7, Joe, because they got it to 6.5. I bought it to 7. I'm not getting out of that because that's just unfair. It's not it's unrealistic. That line is not existing or probably won't exist. But Clemson at 5.5, 6, whatever, I'm laying the points. I'm laying the money line. So this is going to be easy for me, Joe. PP Clemson plus 6. I just let me get the PP bell going. I just think that they find ways to win. They do. And we can break down this game more in depth. But this team finds ways to win. And Travis Etienne was amazing last year versus Bama. I would not be surprised if he had another incredibly good performance versus LSU. LSU definitely has more talent. They deserve to be number one. They deserve to be the favorites heading into this game, without a doubt. But this almost feels like Clemson has turned into a bit of a recent Patriots team where everyone, they make it somehow. Everyone continues to doubt them, and they just find a way to win. And that's how I see them. I just see them realistically like the Patriots. They find ways to win.
It's hard for me not to like Clemson at 5.5, but I think LSU's been the best team all year, and they win. Does that mean that they cover the 5.5? I don't know. But I'm going to take LSU to win the championship, and I think there's a prop for that, right?
Yes.
That means I don't have to bet the points, right?
I mean, you can just take the money line.
Yeah, but that's going to be a lot, right?
I don't know. I assume that it's probably it's probably going to be similar at this point.
I'll pull it up. I got it on my book here.
But either way, I just think we kind of always go over these big, big games. You know, we went over the Stanley Cup a couple years ago in the World Series. To me, one thing is always consistent when looking at these games. Who has not just the talent, because the talent is easy. You're picking teams on talent. You know who's going to win, right? That's not how it works. What do you think Ed Orgeron's going to be able to do to get his team ready?
I mean, they're in the national championship.
Yeah, but I get anyone could have beaten that Oklahoma team. You know, do you think Oklahoma deserved to be there?
Well, I think Joe Burrow wants to be the number one pick. I think he probably doesn't like the fact that people think Lawrence will be better than him next year.
Yeah.
You can get LSU at minus 220 right now. Put up $220 or $2,200 to win $1,000. Oof, steep.
Steep penalty. I think as we get more towards the game on the 13th, I think you'll probably be able to get a better price on that.
If I can get 180, I might do it.
I think you got a better price. I think you might be able to get in that around that 180 range. I'm taking Clemson, man.
And you like the under?
I do like the under. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like the under. I'm not. I don't feel as good about the under as I do on the side. I just feel like, man, LSU has been a train this year, but like there have been points where you're like, man, this, you know, they almost felt, you know, they fell off. And Clemson had that point early on in the season, and they haven't looked back.
Yeah, they destroyed their last 9 people they played and destroyed them in the second half. That was why I bet them second half last week.
I mean, they didn't destroy Ohio State, but they won that game convincingly. They deserved to win, right? To me.
I mean, yeah. Dude threw a pick in the end zone.
Yep. To me, I think they're going to win. I can't tell you exactly what it is. I just have a feeling I think they're the better team. I'm taking the better team and with the points to me.
Dan likes LSU. Dan likes Clemson. I like LSU to win it. I'm just not. I don't have the balls right now to do 5.5. I'll wait it out, though. We'll have plenty of time, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we got a whole other week to go on that one. All right. There's your look at the national championship game. I'm sure Dan's got some thoughts on the NHL and college basketball as well, and we'll get into that next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 98.5. Listen to the podcast at 98.5thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
It's over under 985, the podcast, with all this football stuff. All I've done is bet on football. And I dabble here and there on the college stuff, and I haven't touched any hockey besides the Winter Classic, which I told was I gave out the over, Dan.
Yep.
And it hit in the third period.
It did.
So I'm 1-0 this year in hockey bets.
Not bad.
Or is that this, yeah, this year.
Maybe this year, yeah.
1-0 this year in hockey bets, but... what do you have going on this week when it comes to the hockey slate?
All right, so as you guys know, you used to listen last year. What I did is projected out a full week of hockey. I did it a couple weeks ago. I think it ended right around 500. We're getting back to it. It's a new year. You know, I've been tweaking with my model and my situational data, whatever, yada, yada, yada. And I think I have it where I want to be. So what I did is I break down each play for the next week. I think I did it to Wednesday this time. So Friday through Wednesday, I give out plays. Now, what I used to do is I used to give out some PPs, but not others. I used to just tell you plays I like. I'm cutting out the plays I like because I think people got confused on those, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you plays. All of them are PPs. They're all going to be small. We're going to start off this week small half-unit plays, okay? So situationally, I'm going to tell you what you can play, okay? So if I say you can play it at 5.5 or 6.5, but not 6, or 5.5 or 6, but not 6.5, it's really simple. You don't need to ask me questions. I'm just telling you the answer, okay? I'm not going to give you my methods. I'm just telling you what I like, and that's going to be simple as that. So starting off Friday, January 3rd, Stars versus the Red Wings, over 5.5 or 6. No play at 6.5. So must be at over 5.5 or over 6. Okay. Saturday, January 4th, we got two plays. The St. Louis Blues money line against the Golden Knights. The Blues money line has to be under -130 to play it. Has to be under -130. There's no value above that. Okay. Coyotes Flyers over at 5.5. Has to be at 5.5. If it's not at 5.5, no play. All right. Let's see. Caps on Sunday, January 5th. The Capitals take on the Sharks. I'm playing the Capitals -1. You can play that up to anything up to -140. Caps -1, okay? They are against the Sharks on Sunday. Flames and Wild also on Sunday. Under 6 or 6.5. Do not play at 5.5. It must be under 6 or 6.5.
How the fuck are you doing all this?
I'm projecting out. You were here last year for that.
No, so. I know, but I'm like...
Yeah, well, I'm projecting out.
So what we're doing is you just say, all right, if it's at 6 or 6.5, go under. And then they see it's under 6.5, and boom, they fucking bet it. But if
exactly.
It's at 5, you don't.
Correct.
Okay, yeah, all right.
Very simple. Monday, January 6th, the Leafs are placing the Oilers. Leafs -1. Anything under -140. So Leafs -1. Anything under 140 there. Tuesday, January 7th. Panthers money line against the Coyotes. Anything under 140 as well. That's pretty much the value cutoff you're starting to see with hockey, is that -140 line is very important. Panthers money line against the Coyotes. All right. Capitals are facing the Senators also on Tuesday. Caps -1. Anything under -135. So Caps must be -1, -135 or below for that to be a play. We also have the Blues money line against the Sharks on Tuesday. Blues has to be under -130 or below. Anything other than that, no play. Final game, Wednesday, January 8th. Capitals -1 versus the Flyers. Caps must be under -140 on that -1. Okay. All players are small, meaning half a unit. Still getting the model going. Don't go too crazy. Okay. Just small plays. But there you go. I think that's 10 players or so. 10 PPs. We'll get the hockey going, and there you go. Good start.
That's it.
That's it. That's it.
All right. I might replay this later on and see how Dan does.
Do you you want to get into some college basketball for tomorrow?
I love college basketball.
There's not a lot of good games, but There's a Joey Murr special tomorrow. Okay.
Ooh.
Wisconsin on the road at Ohio State at 7 o'clock. Ohio State is currently 10-point favorite.
Now, if I may, I think Ohio State should squash Wisconsin.
They should, but Wisconsin has been pesky and annoying versus good teams. Interestingly enough, they beat a really good ranked team at home. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. It might be Louisville. Blanking on who it was. They just beat another good team the other night. So far, they've been really good against good teams. So that's one. I actually think I kind of like Wisconsin. Not going to play it. It's not a good situational spot, I don't think, but it's an interesting one. Couple other games, Joe. We're going to try and avoid the small teams. UCF is going on the road to take on Houston. Houston is a 10.5-point favorite tomorrow versus UCF. I like Houston a lot. I think they should cover that line. That line will probably come down. I think they have a good chance to cover and win that game in that one. We have Rutgers, who's been very good to start off the year, Joe. So far, Rutgers is 10-3. They are 2.5-point road favorites versus Nebraska. So Rutgers on the road versus Nebraska. Rutgers 2.5-point road favorites. I like Nebraska to cover that and win. I do.
Ugh.
Final game. Final two games here.
It's hard for me to bet on a couple of these teams.
I know.
Maybe I just haven't been watching lately to know.
All right, final two games here, Joe, and then we'll move on. Georgetown at Seton Hall tomorrow.
Ooh, Seton Hall's been very good. I watched Georgetown play well the other night, though.
So Seton lost basically their best player.
The dude who had a run in the tournament there.
So he's out right now. I have not seen a line on this game. I have not. My guess is that Seton Hall will be favored again. Georgetown just lost to, Providence the other day? Seton Hall will be favored in this game, I would assume. If they're not, I think there's an issue. But 9-4, they should be favored at home versus Georgetown. And finally, Temple goes on the road to face Tulsa. And Ooh. Temple is a 2-point road favorite versus Tulsa.
I like Temple.
I do, too. This line is interesting, though. 9-3, they haven't been great against the spread. 7-5. So we'll see. Tulsa has not been good this year, though, either. They're 8-5, but only 6-7 against the spread. So we'll see. I'm interested to kind of see what, how those games kind of turn out tomorrow, at least to me. I think that we can have some real interesting spots there. So we'll see. I do think it will be fun to watch the big teams play, for sure.
All right, Dan Lifshad's giving you his Lift stats here on Over Under 985. We've gone over the NFL weekend, the championship, NHL over the weekend, and also a little bit of college basketball as well. Anything else, Dan, that you want to do this week?
We want to take some questions, so that's it. After that, I think we're done. But we have a bunch of people.
All right, let's take it to the window coming up next. Unless you want to do it right now.
No, we'll take it to
the window. No, we'll take it to the window. Coming up next here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over Under 98.5.
All right, we got questions this week, Dan. You know what? I have questions, too, and maybe I should open up my... There's so many damn people out there.
We have a lot of questions this week, so let's...
All right, let's bang them out.
All right, cool.
Hey, Dan, what book do you think I should use to you go online? What book?
Yep, we're not doing that this week. All right, so here we go. We need some rain from our buddy Brian. Need some wrangle talk. When do those plays start, Joe?
It's whenever there's an official. Like right now in the playoffs in the NFL. But you got to wait it out a little bit.
I'd say like another month into the NBA season or so. Need some trends and stuff to kind of get in there.
Yeah, you
got to
get
refs.
Like at least like...
Halfway through the NBA season, right? That's like kind of like the deal. So to me, that's like the most important thing.
I think it was refreference.com or something. I looked at recently for the NFL. So if you want to look into the divisional ones, I will say I know the Hussey, the official for the Patriots game, favors Patriots and the under.
He does.
Even though we like the over.
Yeah, I do like the over. All right. From our buddy, not Ozzy, general of thumb for placing additional bets during a bad beat. In my opinion, this is how you lose your ass, Ozzy. Stop chasing. You lose the bet, take a bad beat, whatever, move on.
Ozzy, when Croatia played England, I kept betting England and betting England and betting England, and I lost.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Croatia
just,
won.
Not worth it. Not worth it. Whatever. All right, question from Bill. Without giving up your system, I guess this question is for me. What are the most important to look at in college basketball? You always mention bad spots. What are you looking to do regarding spots? Not going to give that out.
Well, I'll just give a generic one. A team on a back-to-back without, like, a player. Or, like, a team traveling from the West Coast to East Coast. There are just bad spots. College basketball in particular is probably a ton of them.
Oh, I bet it's spots. That's how I bet college basketball.
Oregon's going to Colorado tonight, right?
Yep.
I think Oregon's the better team, but Colorado at home is a damn good team.
Yep, and Oregon is... has not played many road games this year, is the way I would look at it. So, Colorado, good home team versus a team that hasn't proven on the road. Joe, you know anything about tennis being profitable in betting? Because our buddy Bowles Country, asked that.
No.
Okay. All right. I do not think that tennis betting is profitable for most people.
Too many money lines.
Yep. Agree. All right, question from Chris. In other words, without giving away how you run your models, can you give us some insight in the stats or sample sizing? It depends on the sport. I would say that if you're looking for, college basketball, stop trying to look into stats and power rankings and KenPom and all that crap and try and find spots that work. Go look at trends. Not team trends, but historical trends of spots that have been profitable for college basketball. That would be the way I look at it. All right, question from Ken. Last week, Dan made mention of a 13-point NFL teaser. I've never heard of that. Saw that as an option in my book. I usually use 6, 6.5, 7. Can you give us some books that take that action?
Yeah, my book takes 10.
Every book takes that action.
I should look to see if... Oh, yeah, yeah. You got to pay more juice. You got to pay like 6. It's kind of like if you bought 500 on it, you got to pay 650.
It's minus 120.
Oh, minus 20, okay.
Yeah, so I have 20 cents, yeah. Every book will take that. I don't know a single book that doesn't do it. Again, what I tell you is that teasers are not profitable, so you shouldn't worry about it. Okay. Again, that's pretty simple. Got a question from Matt for the podcast. I was kind of hoping to maybe get an idea of something. I know Dan doesn't talk about process, but I'm interested in the spots. I'm not giving away the spots, guys. Listen, that's not something I'm going to do. All right, I've compiled these over a long time.
What I would do is just look at a schedule and look at a spread.
Correct.
And if it doesn't look right to you, why doesn't it look right?
Correct.
Because Vegas is picking a spot.
Correct. You can do the research yourself. Find spots. Find reasons that teams are in certain spots and why that happens. Okay. All right. Let's see here. All right. So question from Black Irish, or I guess he's kind of giving some information. I literally know nothing about gambling, zero, but what I do know is Ryan Tannehill has never won a game at Gillette. I understand he has a new team and a new coach, but he still is the brand of Ryan Tannehill. And 10 starts with the Titans, he has 5 interceptions, 6 fumbles, and 27 sacks. Why is it only 5.5? My answer is...
Why is it 5.5 to begin with? To me, this should be a lower spread.
I think it should be... I think it's probably close to being right. But the Pats aren't home in the playoffs versus a team who has, have they ever won a playoff game? Like, at least not, I mean, yeah, not, the, they have, but like, I'm saying like recently, like.
Have they beaten the Patriots in the playoffs? Never.
Did they beat the Bills a couple years ago in a playoff game, I think? Like, it was like 9-3 or something.
Might have been the Jaguars.
Okay, whatever. I can't remember. But either way, the reason that it's 5 points and Tannehill's past history just doesn't mean that much. He's on a totally different team.
I'm just doing it because I don't think the Patriots can lose at home to Fitzpatrick and Tannehill. I'm gonna like if I was at the betting table. Like, I'm betting on that won't happen. So that's where I'm going with that, Dan. But again, it's anything can happen. Motivation, I think, is a big thing for the Patriots in that game.
It is, but I mean,
playing in a divisional game, I think that's like, do they care?
They should.
I think they do care, but
I hope so. All right, question from King Lions Picks. Hey, bro, what's up? I found your account in the Action Network. Are your numbers legitimate? They are.
They are.
They are indeed. All right. Question for the podcast. How do y'all feel about the MVP odds for LeBron at plus 700? Joe, when we did the NBA preview pod, who was my MVP? LeBron James.
I don't think he's going to be the MVP.
I do. I think he's been the
right
most.
Now?
I think he's the most. One of the most. Who's the most valuable player for their team right now?
I mean,
I think Doncic is in the equation. I think LeBron is there too. I mean, LeBron has been the driving force for that Lakers team, and they started off the season really well.
Yeah, and I think Kawhi doesn't play enough.
That's the problem. If Kawhi played more games, I think that there would be a legit chance there, but he just doesn't play enough. All right. All right, question from Sean. Thanks for the retweet, boys, and making me all the money all season. Don't listen to the haters, yada, yada, yada. Now just to shoot my shot, I got 10 squares left for Super Bowl. $50
a piece. No. Good luck on your square.
Sorry, Sean. That's
just like I don't care about your fantasy football team.
Yeah. No offense, Sean. Nothing personal.
No, nothing personal.
Yeah. As you can see, I don't read them ahead of time. I just do exactly. You know, we do get some natural reaction. That's all we got this week, Joe. That's it.
Yeah, I have a bunch, but I'd have to collect it, and then it would get really
Do you have any questions that you would like to discuss?
This is what I get. Do you know any good Twitter followers for golf betting? Do you find team total numbers to be revealing for the game total or for picking a side? I've been noticing some trends lately that have helped with some correlated plays in these bowl games in NFL, but didn't know if you had any insight.
No. Team totals do not have a correlation because many of them do not.
How much do you bet per game?
Well, that guy's asking because he wants to book your action, by the way.
I know.
So, I know that guy. He asked the same thing from me.
I told him I'm not the right guy.
Yeah.
Let's see. What are your PPs today? Me and my buddies at UNC listen to the pod and enjoy your Twitter. Thank you. We like the North Carolina Tar Heels, if that's where he's talking about. Usually take all your halftime bets, but you posted. That's all I got.
Okay. All right. I think we're good. I think it's pretty clear where we are. All right. We did a bunch of questions. We gave you a bunch of stuff for this week.
We had a big show this week. We'll be back next week. We're going to, you know, obviously we'll have the national championship game, I believe, again.
Yep.
See if anything else comes up on that. And then we'll start probably getting into the, you know, divisional round of the, you know, divisional round, and then maybe some NBA, NHL, college basketball.
Hopefully
we have a show announcement for you.
I'm hoping next week we can officially announce something. Hopefully, but we'll no promises. We'll see.
We might have to cut down on our swearing.
Yes, that is also unfortunate. Also unfortunate, but it is what it is. All right.
Happy fucking New Year, everybody.
Happy fucking New Year, boys.
He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of Over Under 95.
Who you got?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.